And this is how it starts. Welcome to my mini-series editions. This is my mini-series on social accountability. Let's start with some background. The expansion of the middle class in many Asian countries is one of the most significant socioeconomic shifts of the 21st century. You might have completely missed that living in the United States. We've become our own echo chamber. But this growth provides a fascinating contrast to the struggles of the middle class in Western nations, particularly in the United States. The growth of the middle class in countries like China, India, Indonesia, and Vietnam is reshaping the global economy and geopolitics. Here's why it's happening and what it might mean. Economic drivers of middle class expansion include rapid economic growth. Asia has been the world's economic growth engine for decades. Countries like China and India have sustained annual GDP growths far above global average. One reason that this is reframed in the narrative in local U.S. media is our politicians get a lot of mileage out of weaponizing images of foreigners. Let's just be blunt. It doesn't serve us. Anyone who's traveled abroad has had the experience, the initial experience of being in the ugly American and recognizing that people are people. But that doesn't get people reelected. So the fear machine continues to roll. Industrialization, urbanization, export-driven economies. Export-driven economies is a key factor here. And if we look back, and if you've listened to my rant about the short-sightedness, how we jumped the gun trying to transfer from a manufacturing industry, a manufacturing economy here in the United States to a service economy. It's like, really? We're just going to be Switzerland all of a sudden? Like, no. It was naive, to say the least, but I ranted about that for like 10 minutes. So, globalization and trade, integration to global economy, supply chain. And this creates a demand for skilled workers in sectors like manufacturing, IT, and services. Governments have prioritized export-driven industries, creating wealth that serves the middle class. Investment in education. Asian governments have heavily invested in education to create a skilled workforce. Now, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to leave a lot of these things that I quibble with philosophically alone for right now. South Korea and Singapore have world-class education systems that fuel middle-class aspirations. Infrastructure development, massive infrastructure investments, transportation, communication, housing have enabled urbanization, a key factor in middle-class growth. So these terms get bandied around, you know, what is the middle class? What is the lower class? What is the upper class? Let's just give it a down and dirty and say that the middle class is the position from which we can look up and we can look down, and we have no deference to either view. Key characteristics of Asia's growing middle class. Income and spending power. The Asian Development Bank defines the middle class as households earning $2 to $20 per day per capita adjusted for purchasing power. In many countries, incomes are rising steadily, enabling discretionary spending. This kind of reminds me, the United States is reminding me of the fall of the Soviet Union for quite some time. And one of the key things that I just can't quite get over is how the elevators aren't being repaired. I read something in the glossy way back when, somebody was staying in the deluxe room, which I think was the name for the normal room. And the elevator was just never going to be repaired. It was never going to be repaired. That industry was gone. So there were handwritten notes on the elevators, which softened the blow of having a walk, I guess. But the decline was evident. And the decline was evident in more than that. It was evident in the fear-mongering of that government. They spent a long time back, just kind of treading water with the fear-mongering. But, yeah, it was all death throes. I'm hoping to do better here. Asia's middle class is fueling demand for consumer goods, services, education, healthcare, and travel. A growing emphasis on owning homes, cars, and technology. A shift towards Western-style consumerism. Yeah, but for our purposes. Education is seen as a pathway to social mobility. So this leads to increased private spending on schools, universities, and tutors. Middle-class families prioritize cultural and professional success and blend traditional values with modern aspirations. China's middle class now includes over 400 million people, driven by urbanization and government-led poverty alleviation efforts. Rising consumer demand is shifting China from an export-driven economy to one focused on domestic consumption. Now, we did see that happen here, obviously. We turned our guns on our own citizens and preyed on our own for quite some time. But that was an element of the incredibly rapid development that we enjoyed after we were able to sift through the mistakes of the European Industrial Revolution and not repeat them in the American Industrial Revolution. That was an engine of growth that was unparalleled until, of course, the Internet Revolution. But India's middle class, you know, India and China both are sold to us as either backward, rural, ignorance, or people packed together so tightly that they can't breathe. Neither of these are true. We'll look at a little bit of how these countries are managing their growth in future formal episodes. But despite progress, income inequality remains a challenge. There are vast disparities between urban and rural areas, obviously because of opportunity. So in Indonesia, Indonesia's middle class has grown due to stable economic growth, increased access to education, and urbanization. The middle class plays a significant role in shaping political discourse and pushing for governance reforms. The middle class is the driver that gets us to moderate. Governments, empires, whatever, anybody who feels like they're in charge, trends through extreme periods and moderate periods. The moderate periods tend to be the happy, mellow, let's lay around and think good thoughts periods. And somehow the myth of meritocracy, I believe, is what drives the spike of the extreme. It's my observation, especially looking at my family history, Napanis, who would hold, you know, hold court peacefully for hundreds of years. But what went wrong? What would go wrong? What would spike the periodic ultra-extreme religious regime to be able to take control. I believe it's one thing. I believe that meritocracy is not inclusive. My whole life I've dreamt of providing a level playing field. But just, you know, a game on the square for everyone. And then let's see how we do. The problem is the let's see how we do part. The problem is that not everyone is excellent. So when we start defining things through the lens of meritocracy, we wind up leaving people out. What happens when we leave people out is people need to be special. They want to be something amazing. So they find something amazing that they can be. And the easy go-to is religious zealotry. Their eyes can spin and they can be the favorite of gods, whatever gods they believe in at the moment. And how much more special can you be than that? You don't have to be smart. You don't have to know how to spell. You can think that math is an opinion.
You don't have to learn.
You don't have to learn anything to be God's favorite. And so I think that this is the driver that spikes the... quickly... We are seeing an extended period. What's going on in Iran is much longer than the usual period of extremism. And I think that that's a reflection of the United States' involvement in destabilizing the Middle East. But back to the middle class and this mini tutorial. Obviously, I need a lot of lessons in focus. So Vietnam's middle class is one of the fastest growing in Southeast Asia. It's also supported by foreign investment and export industries. Now, you might have caught my more formal podcast calling for harmonization of trade regulations in order to sustain the U.S. empire through this sunset and maybe into a new era. Without harmonized trade regulations, I don't think we have a chance because so-called third world countries have developed so fast in the internet revolution, and they're able to bypass everything that we think of as civilization and just offer the best possible deal to corporate... proposals and stuff. Okay, so we're talking about income inequality, and while millions rise to the middle class, the gap between the rich and the poor continues to widen in many Asian countries because of the urban and rural divide. Now, we saw this in the United States, too. I know when I was a kid, rural was backwoods hicks, and urban was slick and sophisticated. And with those images being reinforced by the media, once again, ask yourself who that serves. It certainly did not serve us. So middle class expansion is concentrated in urban areas, leaving rural regions behind in terms of infrastructure and opportunity. Rapid consumption and industrialization does raise concerns about environmental sustainability, resource depletion, and pollution. As technology advances, the middle class could face new challenges from automation and changing job markets. AGI is here, no matter how people want to whisper about it. That was being trumpeted last year, and now it's being whispered, and that's just, that's not a shift in agenda, that's a shift in marketing voice. What does AGI mean for people who don't think they're affected? people who go to their office job and do basically nothing for 8 or 9 hours and then go home, guess what? You were never really needed. You were filling chairs because tax code gave special privileges to corporations who maintained certain diversity and other metrics of employee. So I'll actually go over that pretty thoroughly because nobody seems to know it. No, I mean, my whole life I've, you know, looked at these buildings. I've been like, couldn't like 5 people do all that work and like better, happier? Yeah. 5 people and 2 AIs. So once corporations are able to cut those costs, they're going to see that as desirable above any tax benefits. So that's coming. Actually, it's here. And we should be seeing the fallout from that because, you know, there's no real safety net for the unemployed workers. So the middle class expansion in Asia offers key insights for Western nations. Invest in education. Absolutely. Prioritize workforce development, particularly in sectors poised for growth. We seem to be prioritizing stagnation. We seem to be feeding our populace a narrative of doom and gloom and mine's better than yours and I got mine and look out for me, I'm coming. This flies in the face of the community spirit that built this country. I know, the Puritans were assholes. Complete fucking assholes. Absolutely. And annoying as fuck. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the groups of immigrants who had to cleave onto themselves and each other to preserve a comfortable voice that they could hear when they came home from being out there participating and contributing to what was called the melting pot. But the simple fact is that the melting pot was something that was taught in civics. and civics got canceled several decades ago. So you guys might not even know what I'm talking about. I'll fix that, though. It's part of this plan. So, infrastructure and investment. Getting foreign investment in the USA is problematic right now. We don't have a lot to offer. Our bond rating is dismal. This isn't by accident. This is because other countries have decided that their best shot at getting their hands on our resources is by not supporting us, by letting us fall. And it never looked as possible as it does now. The split of the union seems imminent right now. That's you know, a really good job that they did. So the rise of Asia's middle class is reshaping global consumption patterns, trade flows, and geopolitical power dynamics. And this is different than any other time because of the interconnectedness, the globalization of business, and the way that you can just reach out and touch China now. When the United States was speeding through our then unprecedented growth, we didn't really have these connections to the outside world. We were kind of doing our own thing. So, we obviously had trade, but the decentralized nature of this vast land, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Excuse me. It's not really democracy. It's a republic. So a rising middle class tends to demand better governance, governance in opposition to statecraft. We see a lot of statecraft here right now, and statecraft was at its pinnacle. I mean, I watched the Soviet Union decline, and I was in awe, as you might be too if you go and study. I was in awe of the propaganda machine. The propaganda professionals were giving us clinics in how to do it better and better and better and better with every campaign. They had to. It was their voices. It was their spins that sustained that that government just that little bit longer. Long enough for the exit strategies to be executed. So governance is actually what you probably think of as government. It's filling the potholes. It's managing the parks. It's meting out the aid. Statecraft is the visible message and personas that we've come to expect with every cycle. So as this middle class grows, and as it influences the world due to the interconnectedness of now, what we're seeing is a spread of the influence of Asian culture, values, and traditions that are dominating the global arena. I noticed this, I wrote this script after noticing the way that the people were positioned in the Singapore Airlines ad campaign. And immediately it spoke to status. And I thought, wow, is the United States that far down on the list of key consumers now that they don't even cater to us with their photo marketing? But I think it's a little bit more that the cultural influence of Asian culture, values, and traditions is taking hold in the global arena. So the expansion of the middle class in Asia is a story of opportunity, resilience, and transformation, highlighting the importance of policies that foster economic growth, education, and infrastructure. But at the same time, it must serve as a warning to Western nations. The middle class must be nurtured and protected, or it will fade into history. So I'm going to lead into part two, but I'm going to break and start a new recording.